Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Obviously, it's a passionate topic for fans of this team. You know, Ron Rivera got bombarded over the last 2 weeks, you know, with the question from every angle, even to the point where, you know, we even had a question about Steven Montez's answer. It's just kind of the way that, you know, things go when it comes to talking about the quarterback of the Washington Redskins. JP Finley joins us now as he joins us in his Friday spot each and every week. JP, how are you?
Pedro, I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
Who's playing and who is not, first of all? Who's been ruled out for this thing on Sunday?
Ryan Anderson's out, which is kind of interesting. We saw him go down. Nothing that is, you know, too alarming. DeShazer Everett, Cornelius Lucas. Those are tough losses, but we kind of saw that coming. I think Washington fans better get ready to see Troy Apke on the field again. I don't know how excited they're going to be by that. But, you know, you got one thing that's kind of interesting is Hopkins and Sundberg are questionable. They only practiced on Friday. So, I mean, that special teams have been pretty important. Obviously, Hopkins has had some struggles. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there. These are two bad football teams playing in late November, so I wouldn't expect a beautiful football game. But when the snapper and the kicker are a little banged up, is something to watch.
Clearly, the question was going to be asked. It was answered by Ron Rivera, who basically did not hesitate when saying, had Cincinnati gone with Chase Young at one, they would have gone with Joe Burrow at number two. Thoughts on Ron's answer about Burrow? And obviously we know it's a nothing because Joe's playing for the Bengals against them this week. But you knew the question was going to be answered or asked, and he gave quite a candid answer.
Pete, when you go to Morton's or Ruth Chris, what do you order?
Steak.
That's the Joe Burrow question.
Exactly.
Every team outside of the Kansas City Chiefs would have taken Joe Burrow, and maybe the Cardinals. But I'll make a legitimate argument that the Seahawks, you name the team, Joe Burrow is probably the highest-graded quarterback prospect since Peyton Manning, maybe Andrew Luck. The guy was on fire. Of course Washington would have taken him. And that doesn't change that maybe they – I won't get into the argument about Tua and Herbert because I still think Chase – it's a really small sample size with Tua and Herbert, right? And Chase, I still think, is going to be a monster. But Burrow was a different caliber draft candidate. I mean, he completed 76% of his passes and had 60 touchdowns. Of course they would have taken him.
And did it playing in what people think is basically a semi-pro league anyway in the SEC. So he did it against legitimate competition. So there was nothing not to like about Joe Burrow coming out. Thoughts and what they've talked about and what, you know, everybody has seen from Burrow so far on the pro level. I know the record's 2-6-1, but the quarterback's been pretty good for them.
He's been great. I think Herbert has kind of stolen the show, I think, because a lot of people have had not much expectations for Herbert, and he's been really, really good. But I still think if you could redraft this draft, Burrow goes number one, undoubtedly. I think the Bengals have what looks – I mean, the Bengals have nothing besides Burrow. They have a couple pieces on offense, but even a guy like A.J. Green is kind of seems past his prime. So he's been really good. I think – what we saw last week with Matt Stafford able to get deep on this Washington defense and knowing DeShazer Everett's out, I think Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow's coming off probably the worst game of his NFL career against that really good Steelers defense. I think Burrow's poised for a big day on Sunday.
You mentioned with DeShazer Everett out, to that extent, can they avoid falling behind in a big hole, which has plagued them in their last three losses, that they've come back and made things interesting late but haven't been able to get over the top? Can they avoid that again?
I think offensively they can, Pete. I mean, they're putting up yards. They moved the ball really well in Detroit. They just had some kind of – I mean, you had the awful play call on second down that led to the sack on third down that cost them on the first drive. Then you had a missed kick. You had a fumble. I mean, Terry McLaurin doesn't fumble. That's the first fumble of his NFL career in 2 years. I'm not expecting that to happen again. I think Washington's going to be able to move the football. I just don't know that they'll be able to the struggles in the first half are so consistent at this point, and I'd say particularly defensively, that I'm not ready to count them out. So I've gotten into kind of prove it mode. Like, you say it's going to be different, I need to see it before I can predict it.
I'll let you out on this. Obviously, critical penalty last week. Are you worried at all that the rookie, I don't want to say isn't aggressive, it maybe isn't the right word, but does he play with a little more caution after making that kind of mistake that obviously caused them to fall last week?
I don't think so, Pete. And the Navy program, you're around football, you know this. Coaches, I don't want to say never, but very rarely will be upset with their guys about penalties of aggression. Now, I think you could maybe call that roughing more of a frustration call than a real aggressive penalty. And it was kind of a weak penalty, but maybe they got away with one a few snaps earlier on the face mask. So and the way Ron backed his guy up and said publicly, hey, yeah, he got penalized for shoving him, I think I wouldn't worry about Chase taking that too hard. And it's certainly not letting it impact his level of play.
No, you're right. Appreciate it, JP. Appreciate the visit. Enjoy the game coming up on Sunday.
Thanks, Pete. Talk to you soon.
You got it. JP Finley from NBC Sports joining us. And, I mean, that would be my one concern. Rookie makes a mistake, and you wonder if he plays with caution is more the word than anything, because he doesn't want to make another mistake. And the problem is, for any defensive player right now, what is roughing and what isn't is left up to interpretation from every referee and every center judge, the two guys that are there in the backfield. Now, I will say this. You go back and look at the film, there was a gap from the time the ball was gone to the time the push occurred, and I think a majority of NFL referees are going to throw the flag in that situation. I think the flag was going to come from a majority of the referees. I don't think the flag was an exception based on this crew. When you go back and look at it, ball's gone, there's a count, and then the push. I can understand why the flag was thrown. We can all agree that it was kind of weak. It wasn't like he destroyed Matt Stafford. But as we know, if you push the quarterback to the ground, when the ball's not in his hand, you do run the risk now based on the way this game is officiated. We're powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's a Football Friday on 106.7 The Fan, presented by Wise Markets. We get back to more of your calls next at 1-800-636-1067. It's the AAA Always On Call listener line on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flavors of Pop-Tarts and Oreos and how they've gone off the chain. 5:35, we're going to talk about Apparently, there's more flavors coming. And I am the world's biggest Oreo connoisseur. I've had every Oreo product they make. And even I'm tired of the non, you know, outside of chocolate peanut butter pie now, I just give me the regular double stuff. And I am cool with that. We're going to talk about that at 5:35. Get some of the new flavors that Broccolino has uncovered in terms of that. Look, when you pick up a phone and you take a survey, I don't know what possesses people to answer questions in this kind of way. But apparently a new study suggests. Now, look, this is where it ties into sports. What, you know, my son played college basketball. His school listed him at 6'8". He's really 6'7". And maybe if you measured him without shoes on, he might be 6'6 and 9/16". Okay? But they listed him at 6'8", and he played like he was 6'8". So maybe if you list yourself taller, it makes you play better. But a new study suggests men with higher salaries often tend to have smaller you-know-whats. Online shopping site OnlyBuy conducted a survey of nearly 1,000 men asking questions about work, money, and their you-know-whats. The results found that men with one-third of a foot often made close to double of what men with three-quarters of a foot made per year. Coincidentally, men closer to three-quarters of a foot worked more in the arts, while bankers had the more one-third of a foot on average. The company says their findings might show that size matters in more ways than one. First of all, even if it's three, don't you tell them it's four. If it's four, don't you tell them it's five. If it's six, don't you tell them it's seven. Come on. When you're answering these surveys, fellas, you can't do that to yourself. You can't do that to yourself. A woman from Scotland still shocked after making an odd discovery in her new home. Catherine Gaston says she moved into her new house, and while unpacking her things, she found a jar in the kitchen. That jar contained part of a heart, specifically an aortic valve in formaldehyde. Gaston said she found out why she didn't find out why the organ was left in the kitchen, but she did manage to win a contest for the freakiest finds made in British homes. And, you know, if you're one of those persons that, you know, sits on your phone all the time, this could be a problem. A British man says modern times are leaving him locked up inside his home. Turns out Bruno Berwick told the Northamptonshire Telegraph that he suffers from electrosensitivity, meaning he's basically allergic to electricity. Berwick says he has decorated his home in 5G protective paint to keep himself safe from the technology-dependent world. His family has even resorted to using minimal levels of electricity, including leaving lights off at night and not watching television. Still, medical experts continue to dispute his condition. That sounds like it's more of a mental thing to me. So, you know, just when you think it's a little wacky in your world, it's wackier in other places. But, fellas, you got to answer those surveys a little bit better than that. 1-800-636-1067. That's AAA Always On Call listener line. As we have been talking, Washington plays the Bengals this week. You have what you hope is some, again, momentum from the offense. And as we pointed out, terrible play call. JP talked about it in our interview with him. You know, you go back to that first drive, the sack is as a result of a terrible play call before. You'd been running left, and you call a reverse going to the left. So at that point, if you are going to try and deceive or trick, because you only run a trick play, deceptive play, because a defense is doing that. That's what the triple option is all about. It's what I study. It's what I see every week in college football. You run things like that because a defense, in the first drive of the game, you have not set up a reverse. A reverse is something that you have to set up. You have to get a defense thinking. We're going boom, boom, boom. Here's the trend all game. We're running behind our left tackle, or we're running behind our right tackle in Morgan Moses, one or the other at that point. You know, a reverse on the first drive, you know, unless a team is just totally undisciplined, it's not going to work because you haven't seen really anything to set that up. So even if you were going to do it, you'd run back-to-back plays left. Why would you run the reverse to the left? Run the reverse coming back to the right, because as soon as they see you running left, all the defense is going to flow left thinking you're going that way again. Oh, here comes the handoff going back right. Maybe that would have worked. Instead, it went left, the defense went left, and it didn't work, and then the sack on the next play, and you don't even get a field goal in the first drive. And that set the tone, and a negative one at that, because Detroit got the ball back, Mr. Swift took over, and, you know, everything, you know, you get a guy turned around on the outside, they make a big pass play, and then boom, all of a sudden you look up, you're down again. You're losing again. And that's, you know, we talk about the players, but the coaches have a learning curve in their first year with a new team as well. And I think Scott Turner's going through some of that. You know, where you take your shot on those kind of plays is important. And how you set it up is important. It's a play you have to set up. And I'm not sure even on the first drive of a game, if you ran like the Riggo drill and ran, you know, six plays over on the left side behind Jacoby and Grimm, I'm not sure even then you could still run that play that early in a ball game. So, you know, that's just one of those growing pains that comes with Scott Turner as a play caller. You know, as I say all the time, you know, I've watched two of the best in college football ever to do it. I watched a guy who didn't even have one of those laminated sheets in his hand. Coach Paul Johnson would put his hand on the side of the wide receiver and just send him in with a play. It was all within the cranium. And then I've watched Ivan Jasper do it as well. And I've watched other great play callers in all of college football. Steve Spurrier was one of those guys in his heyday at Florida. The guy was a master at knowing what call to play and when. It's not an easy thing to do. Just because you look at your fancy laminated sheet and go, oh boy, look at all these samples I have here. Okay, I'm going to call this, I'm going to call this, I'm going to call this. We've had coaches who have famously scripted out the first 15 plays of a game. Well, that script gets blown up when all of a sudden you get a holding penalty or a loss of 12 on a reverse. You can't call what you were going to call on play 6 or play 7 because play 5 didn't work. Then all of a sudden, play 6 doesn't work. Drive over, you're punting, you look up, you're behind. So you've got to go with the growing pains and deal with that of Scott Turner too, just as he is in finding more weapons now that they have developed for him. And now that he's got more, we're seeing a little bit more after they fall behind and they open up the passing game and go tempo. As I've said all along, I think they need to start out in tempo. And I'm not saying you got to go every single play. We're not trying to be Cliff Kingsbury here. But what I would do, you know, you get a completion, let's get to the line, let's go. Guy runs out of bounds, let's huddle. Guy drops a pass incomplete, let's huddle. Because you lose a little bit of the momentum on those kind of plays, in particular, a dropped pass. So, okay, let's go huddle, let's call two more plays, and let's go. And we've seen Alex Smith thrive in that kind of setting here in the second half of the last couple of ball games. So let's do what works. Let's see if we can set a little tempo and dictate to the Bengals coming up. Your thoughts, 1-800-636-1067. Ron's playing to win now, which means we're getting Alex Smith. Does he stay with Alex Smith, as he's been asked about this week? And do they address other needs, certainly in the offseason? They've got plenty of cap space, and they'll likely have a terrific first-round draft pick. You know, I mean, there's a certain way to build this team. How would you do it? Would you keep Smitty around and let him start if he keeps performing like he is right now? Or would you do whatever you had to do to take a quarterback in the first round next year and build behind that player? 1-800-636-1067. Washington and Cincinnati coming up Sunday at 1. Your thoughts next on 106.7 The Fan. James Rapine, Bengals reporter, Dressi.com, and Locked On Bengals joins us at 5. Get back to the calls at 1-800-636-1067. That's how you reach us here on the AAA Always On Call listener line. Talking, how does Washington avoid the hole that has hurt them in several games? How do they do that? I think it's to go up tempo early and get going right away. Alex Smith has proved that he can do that. He's been very efficient in that. And it gets the defense back on their heels early in the game. And more importantly, it gets you going early in the game, so you're not down 17-3 and 21-3 and digging out of a humongous hole. Don't do that. Don't do that. NBA draft or NBA free agency starts in an hour and 25 minutes. We're hoping Washington can get Davis Bertans signed. That would be significant. would certainly help give them another shooter. But who are some other guys on the menu that will be out there? Lakers allegedly have some interest in Bogdan Bogdanović, as he appeared to be on his way to the Bucks, but he kind of screwed that up because, you know, 4 days before the free agent period, you know, it looked like the Kings and Bucks had a deal in place, and now with Bogdanović appearing to, you know, opt out of his deal, that screwed that up. Now the Lakers apparently have some interest in him. But as we detailed in what Golden State's doing to get Kelly Oubre in the fold, the Lakers will find some algebraic way. We talk about all this algebra, like, you know, my daughter's in seventh grade, and she has all this algebraic stuff that she's dealing with in middle school right now. Shout out to all the teachers and kids from Southern Middle School in Lothian, Maryland. Love you dearly. But, you know, you need that kind of cap guy in the NBA to figure out all the different ways you can fit people in. There is potential for a sign-and-trade with Gordon Hayward with the Knicks and the Celtics. Certainly a possibility. Knicks appear to have high interest in the player. Fred VanVleet. Now, if you'd have told me when Fred came out of Wichita State that he would end up being one of the more coveted free agents by age 26, I thought it might have been a bit of a stretch, but credit to Freddie V Squared, who has, you know, done the job. 17-6 a game scoring, plus he gives you 6.5 assists per game. And he's become one of the better defensive guards in the league. So where he ends up and the kind of money, I mean, somebody's gonna give him some freakish money out there. Question is, can the Raptors, can the Raptors get to that number? And I think Fred's going to get a hard look from a lot of people out there in free agency. Who would have thought we'd be talking about this about Joe Harris too? You know, the Brooklyn wing at 14.5 points a game. Now, staying there with KD and Kyrie Irving coming into the fold full time, will that take some potential shots away? You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But this is a guy that is terrific. He's got a Reggie Miller-like trait to him on offense. He's one of those guys that can move hard, can cut hard off of screens and shoot without. He's not a guy that has to be in pristine, my shoulders are squared up, I'm going to catch the ball in my L, and I'm going to shoot the basketball. He's a guy that can do it functionally from anywhere on the court. The problem is the Nets will have to deal with some luxury tax likely because of what money he'll make. And the question they have to ask themselves, is he worth them going over the luxury tax? Plus, he's not a lazy rebounder either for a wing. He'll go get boards. He had almost 5 a game last year. You know, Danilo Gallinari's not going to guard anybody. But, you know, in this league now where you can be – you know, Danilo Gallinari, maybe play a different spot. You don't necessarily have to be a wing. You can be a pick-and-pop four. You know, the number system of 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 is getting further and further out the door in basketball. We're putting 5 basketball players out there and letting them play. And Gallinari's still a guy in the right system. Like, if you have a really good 3 or a really good wing defender as a 3 – and a good rebounder at the 5. Gallinari is a guy that you could play at the 4 and do some business with as a pick-and-pop shooter because he can still shoot the basketball. Problem is, you get a good athletic 4, and he's not guarding Anthony Davis, okay? He's not guarding Anthony Davis. He's not going out to guard Kevin Durant, you know, a guy that's going to pick and pop up top. He's not guarding that guy. So that's the problem with him. But – you know, you get on a team that, you know, you get on a team that's got a little cap space and could use another shooter. Miami could definitely benefit from another shooter. You know, so term is going to be critical there too because he's already 32 years old. Montrezl Harrell's a free agent, sixth man of the year in the NBA. great energy guy, still, you know, has really worked on his offensive game, plays the game hard as hell, and that's what I love about him. So, you know, I think Harrell is going to be interesting. The problem for L.A., you know, they don't really have, you know, a way to go out through signing trades or anything like that to improve themselves. So maybe it helps keeping him. Or maybe if somehow they get a sign and trade where they get another good piece back, it'll be interesting to see what kind of money they can pay their own guy there. Christian Wood, who played for Detroit last year, really underrated power forward, you know, finished at 13-1 and 6.3 in terms of points and rebounds last year, but really finished the season strong, was averaging over 20 points a game and nearly 10 rebounds a contest. And look, they weren't, you know, the Pistons as a team, you know, were playing for a good draft pick. You know, they, you know, after Andre Drummond got dealt, Wood got even more minutes and played his rear end off. He's an unrestricted free agent. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I think, believe it or not, I think he'd be a good fit in Washington, to be honest with you. I think he really would. The problem is, if you sign Bertans, what's that number going to be? And then how much money you have to spend after that? The good thing is, you look at my recollection here and the information I have, right now Washington, with Admiral Schofield getting dealt in that deal to Oklahoma City, they only have 9 guys under contract. So they've got some spots open. And the question is how much is Bertans going to take up on your cap? You've got the 2 rookies you got to get signed. So that would put you at 12. So I mean, he would be a player that would intrigue me a little bit if I'm Washington here in this free agent period, which gets underway coming up at 6 o'clock this evening. And you know, we were talking about the potential rumored deal that Shams Charania threw out there the other night. You know, you see a little bit of momentum, but remember, Houston did not have to deal those players. Both those guys are under contract for multiple years. So you could still see a deal further down the line. Wouldn't rule it out. But they did not have to be in a hurry to get them dealt the other night. Let's squeeze in a call here before the break. Pat's in Crofton. Pat, you're on 106.7 The Fan. Well, hello.
How you doing? Big fan of the show. What's your name so I can follow you on Twitter?
It's at Pete Medhurst on Twitter.
Okay, appreciate that. Well, I'll talk about the Wizards first, but I want to get to the Redskins after the Wizards. The second unit right now is looking pretty strong. If Cassius would be the point guard over Ish Smith, I don't know. But Troy Brown being in the second unit, along with, I'd say, Thomas Bryant, if we make a move for somebody like Montrezl Harrell, because that's about the only spot open right now, is kind of like the big, unless you're a big Thomas Bryant believer. How do you feel about the 5 position?
Well, I mean, if the Bryant that played motivated in Orlando is the guy you're going to get, you know, full time,
right,
I'm willing to see that develop more. But I need to see that motivation and that consistency over the entire schedule as opposed to just what we saw in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, Montrezl Harrell, depending on his price tag, I think will be a great fit. Getting down low, getting rebounds, because that's one thing we've always sucked at is
yep.
rebounds.
And that's why, that's why I thought Christian Wood would be maybe even a cheaper alternative.
Well, I don't know about cheaper. He's put up some numbers pretty late in the season.
He did, but he's been kind of
probably going to go off those numbers. So
he's been kind of a journeyman, though. He's been kind of a journeyman. Quickly get to your football point.
We can never have another Jan Mahimi. I'll tell you that.
Amen to that, my friend.
I'll tell you that. But to the Redskins, I mean, to the football team, because that's where I'm at. That's my heart right there. Trent Williams was huge. That was the biggest move to me coming into this season, was him officially gone. And depending how this season goes, and if we're in the top 10 in draft, which I think we probably will be, there's a guy from Oregon right now. He's as clean as a product as you'll probably ever see, named Penei Sewell. And I think you got to replace Trent while we still have Alex on the books for 20-something. Dwayne, relatively cheap, but as a insurance product to Alex and Kyle. So quarterback's really not an issue for me next year. The left tackle, that's an issue for me. And if we're doing the same thing in the second round, there's going to be some tight ends out there that are pretty good this year. You got one from Penn State, Freiermuth. You got one from Florida, but he'll be long gone, Kyle Pitts. There's some tight ends out there, and that'll be another impact position we can get at the top of the second round, since we'll actually have a second-round pick. But I'm going to hang up and listen to you. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate the call. Shout out to my fellow Anne Arundel County resident over there in Crofton. James Rapine, the Bengals reporter for SI.com and Locked On Bengals, joins us at 5 right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Put Derek back on hold. I think Derek's listening to Reed. Once you get put on hold by our fine customer service associates, Brock and Landfill, you then have to turn your radio down. Heck out of you, because what comes out of your radio is a lot longer away than when it actually comes into your ear. So if you call, you got to keep turn the radio down once you go on hold. That's how it works here when you call in on the AAA Always On Call listener line. But the point we're making, by the way, good point from the caller, Patton Crofton. You know, Montrezl Harrell, I think, is gonna draw a pretty sizable offer from somebody. And I just don't think Christian Wood's going to pull the same amount of cash, to be honest with you. I just think he's a little bit better bargain. And maybe, you know, he's just 25 years old still. You know, maybe you can develop him even a little bit more. You know, certainly seemed to play with a hell of a lot of energy. And, you know, that's the one thing that, you know, I think Scott Brooks and the coaching staff want to see from Thomas Bryant more. And he gave you that in Orlando. He did do that. You know, Christian Wood even gave you close to a block a game as well. So, you know, maybe he's not necessarily – I don't think he's going to be the kind of rim protector you were hoping to get if, you know, Ogunquo from USC dropped down to that spot. But he is somebody that does try to play defense, and he does play with a lot of great energy in that front court. Now, if Bertans signs elsewhere, you know, he probably takes lesser annual value, but that doesn't mean he still couldn't get good total cash. And I think that's the one thing we, you know, I talked about it earlier, we often confuse, you know, when you look at these contracts. Granted, he can sign for more here as Washington would, you know, retain their own guy. But, you know, depending on what kind of term, and I think if he gets some offers elsewhere, I think he could get 2 or 3 years from a team that's a little desperate, a team that's, you know, probably close, has a decent young core that's going to be together and challenge for a while, but, you know, they may need 2 or 3 years at a decent annual value. Maybe that's attractive to Bertans somewhere else, but, you know, certainly on this club, you got to feel outside of Wall and Beal, he's going to be the guy that gets his hands on the ball next. You know, I mean, there was a guy that averaged 10 trays a game last year in terms of attempts. And you would think having a guard of John's ilk may get him more shots. It may even get him a better quality of shot than he was even getting last season. So, I mean, you put Beal on one side and you have Bertans sniping from another. I mean, it really makes your half-court offense, in my mind, that much better. But you need as much as you can possibly get right now in the East. I mean, we were doing this the other night. We were on from 6 to 9. You know, you look at the East, and with KD and Kyrie Irving, Brooklyn's going to rise up that chart. You know, you don't know, even getting John back, and even if you re-sign Bertans, I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to make your way into that upper crust of the East. It just is, because it's fairly solid. Now, do any of those teams have anything for the Lakers and a couple of the top teams in the West? We can debate that. We can debate that. But at least in terms of competing and playing winning basketball, makes your club a lot better if you get Bertans back in the fold here, because you're going to have to score points. I mean, this isn't the NBA of the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s anymore. You got to score, man. You got to score. And you got to score from the three-point line. not all the time, but you have to have legitimate, consistent scoring from the three-point line. Beal and Bertans can get that for you because you got to have that kind of offense. You can't just beat people with twos and go into the foul line anymore. Just can't do it in the game. James Rapine of the Bengals, a reporter for SI.com and Locked On Bengals, joins us next as we take a look at the enemy for this week's 1 o'clock clash, the Cincinnati Bengals, coming up next right here on Sports Radio 106.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.